let's get to the regular agenda from the McCook City Council. City Manager Nate Schneider, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Rich?
Doing good. Councilman Jared Muhlenkamp is in the house.
I get such a great intro from you, Rich. It's really, I appreciate it.
I think a lot of you, man. I think a lot of you. Oh, wow. You know?
Appreciate that.
It's kind of like the Republican National Convention. I mean, yeah. You just got to sing some songs for Jared.
I'm pumped up now.
You know?
I'm ready to go.
You know, district baseball going on. I still remember that years back when Jared was tearing things up and, you know, he shut down everybody's offense back in his days of pitching and nobody could hit a hit off of him.
Well, there's, you know, the only thing that stopped me was Rich behind the plate umping. He would called all those balls.
No, I was.
He had a really tight strike zone.
No, I was nose to toes, man. I was nose to toes. It was a big zone.
You're the Angel Heart Hernandez of.
Don't you dare say that. Angel Hernandez. That guy's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Did he retire immediately or at the end of the season? He's done. Okay.
They parted ways.
Yeah. That's funny. It was due time. Yep. It was fairly due time. All right, guys, let's get to the agenda from last night. We'll start first. Anything on announcements and recognitions?
MPPD, Grant Flamig was there to present for MPPD. He went over some different things about he's taking over for, I can't remember the name. I didn't write it down.
Stan Klaus.
And so he's our new representative from Nebraska Public Power District. And, just went over some numbers and different things with us about what MPPD does and what they can do for us in the future. I know we talked a little bit about some of the different things that they can do program-wise that we're not really taking advantage of right now, and he's gonna give us some of those, and we might mail out some of those with our utility bills and things like that. So just as a reminder, some savings and different things that we can do as citizens of McCook to, you know, lower our energy cost and, you know, be more efficient. So
those energy costs going up a little bit with the heat and running the air conditioners all the time. Yep. Dang it.
He also mentioned, you know, they haven't really raised rates, but we're looking at probably a 2% raise here. It's going to come up pretty soon.
Okay. Anything else on announcements, recognitions? Consent agenda. Anything pulled for discussion there?
Nope.
Nothing was pulled, but I just wanted to point out we're entering into our design engineering agreement for the wastewater treatment plant with Miller & Associates. This is a big deal. You know, we are cognizant of the fact that there are going to be certain requirements that we're going to have to meet in the future that's going to require build of a new wastewater treatment plant. We've talked about this before, I know, here on the radio show. But the design phase is going to begin here. Miller & Associates, they've already kind of started working through some of these details, but now the design phase is going to begin in earnest. We selected the SBR option with respect to the wastewater treatment plant. Had a chance to tour that same facility up in Broken Bow. It's going to be a good fit for us. It will be a project that's going to be funded through rates. Then also we're looking at different options as far as potential federal funding, maybe some grant opportunities. The council recently, they've authorized the release of bond anticipation notes. We're kind of working on timing right now with PFM and then Brad Slaughter. And then also on the public side, we're going to work with USDA to secure financing for a portion of it through them. And so it's a big project, but it's something that needs to be done. And we are continuing to work through it, but that design phase has to be completed. Then we're thinking 2026, that's probably when the actual build out will begin. That's not a project that probably gets the same kind of accolades that the swimming pool does, but it's probably between that and water, those are the two most important things that we provide. And so it's probably one of the most important projects we'll do in a long, long time. And so looking forward to moving on that. And I appreciate everybody's assistance from the USDA to Brad to Matt over at PFM. We just need to work through the financing end of it and figure out exactly how we want to do this and what we're comfortable with. And the timing is kind of the biggest issue right now. But I wanted to highlight that so people know that we're working through that wastewater treatment plant design phase, and we'll get to construction here soon.
Jared, you had
Then we go to the presentation from Erica Bush.
I was gonna ask you first of all, the McCook Recreational Improvement Project. What is there anything?
So we're working on a grant application for the state of Nebraska. There is an opportunity. I believe it was LB 1412 this year. Last year, I don't know if you recall, we actually received a grant from the state of Nebraska, and we were going to direct that towards a demolition project at a building in McCook that needed some attention. It was a $1 million grant, but because of some federal stipulations red tape, it actually went from a grant to a loan, which we denied. The city council denied that. Mm-hmm. So the legislature went back this year and said, hey, we want to try to reappropriate those funds, but we're going to get rid of the red tape that we were dealing with this last year. And I'm not going to go into the red tape. It's a long story. It doesn't really matter. But they opened it back up. So anybody that applied for this grant this last year is going to get priority. So we'll get priority. I think there are 40 communities that applied, 20 received grants. All 40 communities will be able to go. Well, I think everybody can apply, but priority is going to go to those communities that applied beforehand. This year, we're changing the scope of our grant application. Last year, it went towards housing. It was going to go towards the demolition of St. Catharines. That's what we were looking at trying to do. However, because of some complications with the ownership right now at this time, we decided to redirect it. When the state legislature passed this current round of legislation, they opened it up for more qualified expenses. One of them was for recreational facilities. So we know we've been working with the All-Inclusive Playground Group. They have started fundraising already. They've got some funds that I know that have been pledged towards their organization. We are asking for a portion of that to be funded through this grant application. We're looking at about $500,000. We're also looking at doing some stuff over at Barnett Park. Barnett Park has an old playground center that needs to be updated. It's about as old as the Kelly Park playground equipment, 25, 30 years old. And so those are our two priorities. But then we're also looking at potential playground equipment and even potentially a splash pad over at the new ballpark facility. And so we're going to ask for some funding for that. So our request is going to be $1.5 million, a little bit more than what we asked for this last go around. But we definitely have the needs. You know, one of the things that I was really wanting, you know, and as a basketball guy, we need some basketball courts in this town. Yep. So that's one of the things that we're requesting as part of this application. That would be at the new facility. We talked about some additional pickleball courts. Just a lot of different things that we could do out there. And so Jessica Bortner, Tara Cutter, Kyle Potoff, and myself, we've been working on this grant application, trying to get this thing out. It's due on the 22nd of July, but this program we thought was important to make sure that we established, and I drafted it. I wanted to go ahead and set up some guidelines for us to follow moving forward, you know, making sure that we're updating our recreational priorities, make sure that we are, considering the budgetary needs that we have. We always talk about adding new things, but we need to make sure that we're cognizant of what the budget constraints are going to be. And then also, I think probably more reviews of our policy and kind of where we think that we are. So that way we're constantly just making sure that, yep, you know what, we're going to update here, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, as long as we've got the funding to do that. Because that's the priority, is making sure that we do this in a reasonable economic fashion. But I think we're doing really good right now. If you look at all the recreational updates and a combination of it, I mean, we've got public and private partnerships across the board, whether it's with McCook Public Schools, the Ed Thomas YMCA. You look at the McCook Community Foundation working with us on our swimming pool project. You start talking about the Masonic Temple and the gift that they gave us for the swimming pool. Then you start talking about, on the private side, some of the things that have occurred. You know, we had the new pickleball courts that was a private project that we worked with them on. We pledged Russell Park as a location to do the new pickleball courts, but the funding came from private donors. The All-Inclusive Playground is the same way. That's a group of people that have prioritized new playground equipment, in particular at that Kelly Park area, knowing that our playground equipment is getting old and beyond its useful life. And so that's another example. Another example of a private project that occurred was the disc golf course, the second disc golf course over at Barnett Park. So we're trying to foster those relationships both with other public entities and also private individuals. So that way, and this all ties into, this grant ties into COVID-19. You know, we were declared or found to be a community, a county that was disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. And that was a state determination. That wasn't us. The state made that determination. And so these funds are available for communities that receive that designation. And we're going to go after it. Whatever we can do to try to make sure that we're offering as many opportunities. One of the things during COVID that I really noticed, people got really tired of being pent up. And they got stuck in their house. You know, there are all sorts of restrictions. I know that we had to put restrictions as far as public spaces. And that stunk. I mean, we hated doing that. But I think people realized, hey, we need to have some options out here. We need to have some things that gets everybody involved. And it's for young and for old. Doesn't matter, you know what your stage in life is. I mean, it's going to be the same across the board. We're just trying to make sure that we hit every single potential group to make sure that they've got amenities that will be workable for them. But these are COVID-19 dollars. They got transformed into state dollars. And that's where the hang-up kind of was last year with the grant, was it was federal funding, and there are some ties to it that the state probably hadn't quite taken into consideration, which happens. I mean, all sorts of things were going on after COVID. There are all sorts of programs, all sorts of things that were floating. You had dollars that were moving around, and probably, you know, in retrospect, there are some things that maybe should have been thought through in a little bit more detail. But I appreciate the fact the state came back in with this as an option. We had a lot of discussions with them with respect to our original grant that turned into a loan, you know, where we were at with that, what we wanted to do. We actually took that to the council, and I think there are some misunderstandings that we were just automatically, we weren't going to take that out as a loan. We gave that back, but I was very hopeful that the state was going to come back in and reapportion those funds so that way we could move forward with maybe another project. Again, you know, it was originally supposed to be for the old St. Catharines, but if that's not feasible, well, then we're going to use that request for something else, and that's what we're doing.
Regular agenda presentation from Erica Bush with the West Central Nebraska Development District.
Yeah, she had a great presentation on some of the things that they've been tracking since April, I think, really. And so she kind of went over some of the different properties that needed abatement, and also
and just to note, they're focusing on the on one district. They've created a district map. It's the very northwest portion of McCook. The city of McCook is still working through the other locations in McCook, but the very extreme northwestern corner of McCook is where they are focusing their efforts.
Yeah, they can't do it all, and so they start in a section, and they'll, you know, throughout that we'll get the entire city going. But yeah, so we went over some different properties, some that actually have been successful in getting their property cleaned up. So that's really great. It's great to see. We all need reminders, right? Sometimes to clean stuff up. And I mean, I do it at work too. I need to clean my desk. I need somebody to kind of force me to do that or whatever. But yeah, so sometimes we just need a reminder. And so they've been very successful in getting some of those things cleaned up. And we've added one to abatement. Or
was it two to abatement.
Two to abatement. Yeah. And then we've rescinded quite a few there.
Yeah, most, which means they've cleaned them up.
Yeah, which is great. And then added another two. What was that? To add to a nuisance.
Yeah, to the nuisance property list.
So, yeah, it's been really great working with them. They've done a phenomenal job. And also kudos to the citizens of getting things cleaned up, too. That's really the... You know, the main goal with this whole thing is just to have a clean, presentable, you know, city to live in, to be proud of.
So this resolution was passed last night then.
Yeah. Presentation. Yeah, two resolutions passed.
Yeah, this was just the presentation, but then the resolutions were passed to add and rescind. And so, yeah.
All right.
Really great.
Update regarding the swimming pool project and ballpark project. We talked a little bit about
the pool. And on the ballpark, we're just working through timing on the bond anticipation notes. A couple meetings ago, the council authorized the issuance of bond anticipation notes. I got a schedule back from D.A. Davidson. We are looking at a bond rating phone call, I believe, on August 6th or August 7th. We'll have that phone call with Moody's. I got to do a little bit of studying up on things before we have that call. And then we'll go through the process for the sale. The sale will occur in September. We're hoping that, you know, as soon as we get those sale proceeds, we can go ahead and close on that property. And then once we start getting some of those things closed up, I had the title opinion that got forwarded to me here this last week. Survey is being done out there. We got some things that we need to just tie up some loose ends. But once we get all those things done, I think that probably the discussions with the ballpark committee, working through some of the funding issues that we just talked about, start looking at different organizations, groups that are specialists in building ballparks. You know, those are all things that we'll be doing, and it's going to take a little bit of time, but by the time it's done, I think people are going to be just as excited for this, maybe even more excited than the swimming pool. I think that this is not just a ballpark project, but it's also a complete economic development project when you start talking about the commercial lots and residential lots that will be available as a part of this.
Going back to the pool a little bit, one thing I forgot to mention, I do believe the chamber is going to be there tomorrow.
12:30. Yeah, so they'll do a ribbon cutting at 12:30.
Exactly.
Yep. And that'll be at the upper shelter house. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep it a little less congested in front of the facility. And then people can access the swimming pool as soon as that's over.
You had a couple of ordinances after that. Is that right? On third and final reading with all-terrain vehicles and stuff like that. Is that right?
Yeah, we moved to postpone that.
Okay.
There's a few things that city attorney needed to go over and kind of needed, we want to be as safe as possible on this, right? We don't want anything to happen and we want to make sure there's no stone unturned. And with that, we want to make sure that we do everything appropriately through state statute, but with, you know, some of this, I feel like we're kind of doing our own sort of reconnaissance on this, trying to figure out how to do it right. And some of that comes with, well, child restraints. You know, they're legal in cars, right? But how do you do that in a UTV? So maybe there's an age restriction. I think Nate brought up that maybe we should do 8 and over because that's when they age out of child restraints. So there's a whole thing with maybe we do 8 and up, and how does that going to look? And, you know, how do you – there's just a lot of moving parts with that. So we just want to make sure we're doing everything right. So we're going to bring that back at the next council meeting.
One of the things that we talked about last night, Nate highlighted, we've talked about it internally. Typically, you know, if this were a piece of state legislation, they'd be conducting studies, they'd be doing all sorts of things. You know, the state doesn't regulate this, but they give the authority to the city to allow UTVs to go ahead and travel on our streets. But we don't have the same kind of ability to conduct safety studies and that kind of stuff. And so it's a lot more complicated. I've had some conversations with people, and I don't think they quite understand sometimes, you know, the liability and the concerns that we have as a city when we allow these kinds of things. We can't just go into these things without knowing for sure what we're getting ourselves into. You know, and we've got to take it very seriously. When we say that you can't drive UTVs on the highway, that's 100% true. State statute says that you can't. So what does that mean for the city? You know, how are we going to allow people to go ahead and pass the highways? Well, you know, it has to be at a controlled intersection. Okay, that's good. What's a controlled intersection? And then we got into disagreements and conversations about what a controlled intersection is. You know, then you start talking about the licensing part. The licensing part is a complicated factor in all this because we're going to have to take on more responsibility for things. It's like another unfunded mandate that we get from the state of Nebraska or the federal government at times. And you know, we're okay with taking that on, but how is that going to work? It's going to work through the police department, but then we also have to make sure that we've got people that are knowledgeable to make sure that, hey, you know, this is what we're looking for if we're saying that it's street legal and able to go ahead and travel, you know, on McCook streets. Well, is it our people that do that, or do we have somebody that's a professional do that? Because they're the ones that are the experts. It wouldn't be the people that I have over at the police department. You know, those are things that we have to talk about. So it's a lot more complicated, I think, than what people give credit for. And we had the conversation regarding golf cars and golf carts at the last meeting. Same exact thing there. Probably not quite as safe as the UTV. Well, definitely not as safe as the UTVs, because new UTVs, 2008 and newer, they all have roll bars. You know, you don't have that same thing with golf cars and golf carts. And so we were talking about, you know, what does that mean? I don't even know if I know what the difference between a golf car and a golf cart is.
You're saying car is like, what's a...
State statute talks about a golf car being able to drive to 19 miles per hour, and you can modify it so you've got turn signals and you've got, you know, brake lights and those kinds of things. Okay. But what does that mean from a practical standpoint? Because we had the same issue pop up when I was city attorney in Indianola, you know, and golf carts on the streets and whatnot. It was a big question that popped up at the time, and I know there's a lot of people that were supportive of it, just like there is right now. But you got to make sure that you are doing your due diligence. You know, can you get insurance on a golf cart? I don't know. Maybe you can on a golf car, but you can't on a golf cart. What do you do for education to make sure that people understand there's a difference between a golf car and a golf cart? You know, because my guess is probably you're going to have some people that are just going to say, okay, well, golf carts are legal now. Well, no, a golf cart wouldn't be legal. You know, but that just means one more thing for our police department to have to patrol and stop and say, you know, no, you can't do this, but you could go ahead and modify it if you spent X number of dollars and this is what you're going to have to do. All that is fine, but we got to work through that stuff. You know, and so like sometimes it's really easy to say, you do this, but we got to make sure that whatever we do, we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's, because ultimately liability could potentially rest with the city of McCook, and we got to make sure that we do it the right way. So there are a lot of questions to answer. It's not just, hey, you do this. You know, it's got to be, hey, you do it the right way. And that's what we try to do when we go through these kinds of processes.
All right. Anything else, Jared?
Nope.
You had one more ordinance on weeds, litter, stagnant water. Anything on that?
That one passed. Yeah, that one's done.
That was 4-0 vote. All right, move on. And update regarding the comprehensive plan zoning subdivision regulation project.
I just wanted to bring this back to the council. It's been a while since we've talked. Miller & Associates is doing our comp plan, zoning plan, zoning reg, sub reg updates. So, by subdivision regulations, you know, when people come in and they want to subdivide an area, kind of like the reservation area where they're doing the duplex project, or what you're seeing over at North Point. Those are examples of subdivision projects that we've done here recently. We want to update our subdivision regulations to make sure that we're comfortable with the content. On the zoning side, that's complicated. You know, everything that we do is based upon zoning, you know, making sure that things are in the proper location, that it's a good fit, you know, making sure that we're taking into consideration, you know, all the different needs of the community. But that's kind of that's our law, you know, when it comes to making sure that we're doing things the way that we're supposed to do it. So, you know, that's something that we're working on right now. And then also the comprehensive plan. That actually is what we use for future plan development. And so the comprehensive plan is what says, hey, you know, future land use, yeah, maybe right now it's you know, agriculture, but in the future it's going to become industrial, you know, if there's going to be development in a certain area. And so we use that to try to determine if we're going to grow, what's it going to look like? Case in point would be the property that's north of West Q Street, where we're going to be looking at building the sports complex, new residential properties and commercial. That was actually anticipated in our comprehensive plan to be residential and commercial. So it's going to turn into what we thought it was going to be. And we use that to make sure that we're proceeding in a proper fashion and not just jumping the gun saying, you know, okay, knee-jerk reaction, we got to do this, this, and this. Well, no, you think about those things and make sure that you're doing it the right way. So those are three things that we're working on. We've been working with Miller and Associates to try to develop these things. Tara Cutter, Barry Mooney, myself, who drove out to Kearney about a month ago, met with Craig Bennett. He's a planner through Miller & Associates, and then Jason Combs. He's also in that planning department at Miller & Associates, just to make sure we're on the same page. It had been a while since we'd had a public hearing or a public meeting, and we needed to make sure that Miller's and the city of McCook, we were on the same page. There are a lot of things. It's very, very voluminous. There's just a lot of stuff. If you've read our comprehensive plan, our zoning and subdivision regs, first of all, it's a great way to go to bed at night.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's riveting stuff.
But it's important. But,
it's very important.
But also, one of the things that we struggle with is it's so voluminous, and there's only a couple of us that are doing this. There has to be a little bit of time. So we're actually, Barry, Tara, and I, every day for an hour and a half each day, we go through one to two sections. And we just make sure that we're comfortable with what we've received back from Miller & Associates. So Barry started the process by making updates from our old subdivision regulations and zoning regulations to reflect some of the concerns and issues and problems that we've had over the past 10 years. Then we forwarded it to Miller & Associates, and it took them a while to go ahead and blend our concerns into what they felt was appropriate, because they have to also make sure they're complying with state law and whatnot. Then we got together, had a chance to go through and review their draft revisions, and now we're going through their draft revisions, making sure we understand it. Last time we did this, it was a shotgun approach. I think I had a week to read it, and we probably got a product that wasn't what we wanted, and so we're doing it the right way. It's going to push back. I was thinking July would be when we'd have our next public meeting. It's probably going to push it back to September, because I want to give everybody 30 days notice to be able to review it before we have that public meeting. But we should have everything done as far as our review by August. And then we'll take it to the Planning Commission and the City Council then for confirmation. But it's a slow process. We're making progress, though, and that's the good thing. And I wanted Council to know where we were at on that. But it's the most boring hour and a half of my day when I meet with Tara and Barry to go through that. But we're making our way through it.
But so. It's very important. It's very important. I want to point out, City of McCook has taken on a lot of big projects this last 2 years, really. And I want to thank all the staff. And I mean, some of these are coming to fruition with the pool, but we're just getting started on the baseball complex. And so there's a lot of things that are, happening right now, and a lot of things that citizens should be really, really happy about and proud of. And it starts with the staff, And so I want to give a big shout out to everybody there. You make the council's job a lot easier with going through all these things, and I appreciate that. I think I can speak for the council and say they appreciate that as well. And so, thanks to the staff and not only you, but Leanne does so much, and so between Kyle, you, and Leanne, and everybody else, we could not do it without you. So I want to say thank you.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
You would think we could thank Leanne one of these days. She'd come out and see us. We could thank her in person, but,
she already made it stipulated, I think, that she's not coming out until she's retiring, but we're going to hold her to that. Even if you have to do it remotely from her office as she's trying to sneak out the door.
I'm going
to
get her one of these days.
Just sneak up
Leanne.
On her.
We're going for you. Yes.
Now, that's the other thing. We're right in the middle of budget season right now, and so we've been working through everybody's budgets. So yesterday we spent the entire morning working through utilities, with Pat and John and Nathaniel. And so it's just that time of the year on top of the other projects that we have. But Leanne, I always chuckle because I can tell she gets her game face on this time of the year, and she's rearing to go. So. And we got Tara Cutter in the bullpen ready to go ahead and help out as well, too. Plus, we've got great staff, Connie, Tracy, Debbie, Jessica, Lilia. They're there to help out. So we're very fortunate to have the group of people that we have, and we'll get a budget out that hopefully makes sense and takes into consideration some of the big things we've been talking about.
You going back to just a few minutes ago with Barry, just Barry being Barry, I mean, just him, he's makes everything exciting, doesn't he?
Yeah, Barry's a good guy. Yeah, Barry's a good person. We're very happy to have Barry. Barry tries very hard, I think, to have a good rapport with everybody in the community. I think for Barry, you know, I think that developing those relationships, making sure that he has the ability to open those lines of communication, it's very helpful, and we appreciate that. I think that, you know, the tone and tenor coming from our building inspector's office, I think, is very respectful. I think we try very hard to make sure that we assist and help. We're not here to be the no guys, but sometimes we have to be just because of the situations and restrictions and safety concerns that we have. And so when we have to do that, you know, Barry does a good job of that. But primarily, you know, we're here to try to make sure that we're making McCook grow. And if you look at the projects, I drove around McCook here this weekend, projects that have occurred, you know, over the last 10 years since I've been city manager, you know, and then you start thinking about the things that have been set in place to allow for future projects. I mean, we're really moving. Like Jared said, you know, I've had other communities on this side of the state say, how in the heck are you guys doing it? And it's because we got a great council, great staff, like Jared said, great citizens, great community. We got people that are wanting to move McCook forward. They realize that if we don't go now, you know, we're going to dry up and blow away. And so we're trying to combat that by being progressive and you can, people get the wrong, sometimes people hear the word progressive.
Yeah, I was just going to say, whoa.
But progressive means, it doesn't mean, right, you know, we're going to spend money. Like, it means we're going to do what we need to make sure that we've got a community that we want. But we do our best to try to make sure we keep it within the confines of the budget that we establish. And so, you know, because I've had people on the other side that are very, you got to do this. It's like, no, we can't do that because it's going to end up blowing up our budget. You know, and it's not fair to the taxpayers of McCook, ratepayers of McCook. And so we got to dig our heels in. You know, case in point, the ballpark complex. That was a perfect example where we had to say, we're going to slow down, make sure we do this the right way because we don't want to put people in a bad spot. So there are things that we do I think, you know, will not only have impacts now, but also impacts in future generations. And I can see it from what we did 10, 17 years ago when I became city attorney. You know, we started doing TIF projects, you know, and a lot of, before we did the TIF projects, we had to do the blight and substandard studies. And that's a long, painstaking process. Mm-hmm. But you start doing those things, and before you know it, you've got people that are developers that are saying, hey, I want to come to McCook because I can make this work. Those three houses that are going up north of the copper mill, that doesn't happen except for the blight and substandard study that occurred back in 2012 or 13. You know, those are things that people don't see that have happened, but there's a reason why we do those things, and it ties into the zoning regs and the comprehensive plan and the sub regs and all those things we talked about. Everything ties into one another, and there's a reason why we do what we do.
Anything on council comments last night?
I don't think there was.
Nope.
All right, next city council meeting is going to be August.
August 5th.
Yeah. August 5th.
And I should probably note there is going to be a budget retreat that next. So it'll be the Tuesday after the 5th. Okay. So the 13th, there will be a budget retreat. So we'll have our initial budget presented to the council at that time. And the public will be encouraged to attend. I think that it's always important to make sure that we are as transparent and accountable as we possibly can be. So anybody that wants to come, or if you have some things that you want to have on the agenda as far as maybe some fun, I know we already have a couple of different entities that have some requests into the city. They'll be coming to the council to present their requests at that time. But everybody's encouraged to join us at that meeting. I think that's where really everything gets set up. And then the next three readings of the budget, it's all predicated on what happens at the budget retreat.
Yep. Rich was going to bring up, he was talking to me, he says he's going to do night swimming. He's going to bring that up for next year.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Oh, I think you're talking to, you're going to jump the fence and go night swimming. No, I have had people that have asked me, can we throw parties and stuff, you know, company party. We just need to get our we need to get our bearings. You know, this is probably good that we're only doing it for a month to a month and a half, just so that way we know what the heck is going on, and then what that staffing level needs to be, you know, where areas of concern are. And it also gives our people a chance, you know, at Public Works, Kyle and his guys, an opportunity to finalize everything, the parking, you know, the front area, you know, making sure that the pool is in its final form. So we'll take that to the council. We'll talk about those things, renting it out, you know, that kind of stuff. That's stuff that we can talk about once we get past July and August. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a pretty cool. It's
margarita awesome. Night at the pool.
Yeah. We had a couple people that said, hey, they were really supportive of a tiki bar at one point in time. I don't know if we could get away with that, but I don't think so. But you know, we were talking about you could do movie nights out there.
Yeah,
you
sure.
could do things like that. You know, we're talking about sound systems, making sure that we're able. It's going to be one of the nicest pools in the state, public pools in the state of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of another town our size that's going to have something like this. So I hope that people are extremely proud of it. And it's based on their vote, their yes vote on the recreational bond that allowed us to proceed with this. On top of, you know, other funding, DED and Masonic Temple and some other funding that was out there. But if it wasn't for the voters, this doesn't happen. So it's their pool.
Once again, the Chamber of Commerce with the ribbon cutting 12:30. Pool opens at 1.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rich.
City Manager Nate Schneider, thank you very much. Councilman Jared Mielenkamp, what can I say?
Nothing.
There'll be no jumping fences. Boy, if I attempt to jump a fence, man, I'd probably fall over and break my back on the other side.
Well, we could probably get a lift for you, so that way we could...
Not even gonna try it.
That's really not even. I mean, are you really tempting fate if you're using a lift to get? Yeah, we're at an age where probably
right.
none of us wants to do.
Wouldn't
that.
Be smart.
You it bet. Would not be smart.
I'm,
no.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that lazy river. You know,
I bet you are.
That's gonna be awesome. I was wondering when Kyle was saying you can adjust the speed, how fast we can get that thing going. That might be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's like a.
there's a lot of things you can do with this.
The one thing that the pool committee, when they were building this out, one of the things they really thought about long and hard were the shade structures.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is going to be a huge element of this. You know, those shade structures are located in areas that I think will make it a very comfortable place mm-hmm. to take your family. But it's going to be huge. You talk about a 100-degree day, you're going to try to find some shade. The old pool didn't have a whole lot.
No, not a bit.
But this one's going to have some shade. So, I mean, we thought of everything. The pool committee, staff, engineers, construction company, thought of everything. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait.